Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Yud Tes. We're holding six lines from the top of the Amud. As you know, we've been speaking about for the last few days the inyan of Yud. Yud means that when a person buys an Amud Ria, the Torah says that either the Adon himself or the son can do Yud. In other words, marry the young lady, and after they marry her, she now is no longer a slave, now she becomes a wife. And so therefore all the dinim that normally apply to slaves, such as a person being yoytze b'sheish, u'biyoyvel, and by a girl, b'simonim, all of that will no longer apply, because she's now no longer an Ami Ivriya, she's now Ashes ha'adoin. And for her to leave that rishus, she'd have to have a get, like a normal, regular Ashes ish. And if the adoin is not interested in doing yud, like the Pasuk says, v'im livno yi'odena, he can go and give her as a wife to his son. So now the Gemara clears the shayla. Boy Reish Lakish, ma'ushim yayid odem livnoi katan. After all, the Torah just says, v'im livno yi'odena. It doesn't identify how old the son is. Now, of course, normally the son has to be over bar mitzvah, because anybody less than bar mitzvah is la b'nei dayan in him. However, since the son's authority over here to marry the young lady is not inherent in him, but it's really derivative from the father, so perhaps the father can authorize his son, you, quote-unquote, represent me, and you be the one that should be miyayid. Does that work? That's the shayla of Reish Lakish. Ma'u shimayim miyayid odam livnoi katan. Can a person hand over his omivriya to his son to be miyayit to go and marry? Do we say b'noi amarachmana b'noi koldu? After all, the pasuk just says v'im livno yodena. So maybe any son, even if a son is only a kata. Oydil b'noi dumididei. Maybe just like the father has to be a bar mitzvah, he has to be a bar das. So too the son has to be a bar das, and therefore mahu godel at b'noi godel. Very simple, straightforward shaila. Is Omer of Zayda Toshima. Let's try to bring a raya from an unrelated posik, a posik that figures in the Parshiois of Aroyois in Achre Mois Kedoshim, where it says in the posik, the ish ashiyinaf es ashes ish ashiyinaf es ashes re'eu mois yumas hanoyev ahanoy office. The posik is somewhat redundant. The posik says ish ashiyinaf es ashes ish, a person that chas v'sholem is mizane, commits adultery with an Ashes Ish. And then it says, Ashiyinaf as Ashes Reyeu. He commits adultery, Neof, with an Ashes Reyeu. That's the same thing. And therefore the Gemara now darshens, Ish prat le cotton. This comes to exclude a cotton. That means that if a cotton would go and live with an Ashes Ish, Rachman Litzlan, what's the din? He does not get Misa, even though he has committed a terrible act. With an Ashes Ish, the Torah says he does not get Misa. That's number one. The Chiddush over here is, since we know Kala Torah Kula, a cotton is not a Bar Oinshin, the Chiddush over here is that she, the Ashes Ish, does get Misa. And therefore, Solka Daita Chamina, that the boy also should get Misa. If you look at the second Tosfos, Ish prat the cotton, afal gav the cotton la bar oinchin hu, a cotton never is a bar oinchin. So what do I need an ish prat the cotton over here? Because mokem istrich krolim ute de kosol kadaitach, I would have thought shehe nerag, he should be killed, kimen sho isha nheregis al yodai, since she, the ashes ish, gets killed because she's over bas mitzvah, and therefore she engaged in a prohibited action by living with this young boy. She's an Ashes Ish. So she gets Misa. So I would have thought he also gets Misa. Moreover, the same Toisus appears in Masechtas Erchin, and there the Gemara Toisus gives an additional pshat. The additional pshat is we find that if a man or a woman lives with a behaima, it says in the Pasuk, V'yasa behaima taharoigu. And Chazal, among other reasons, gives the answer, the reason why we killed the behaima is since this behaima was the vehicle by which a man or a woman was killed, then therefore they're also a grumma to that misa. They were the primary person involved in this terrible act of living bestiality, a person with a behaima. So even though the behaima is not mechuyib b'mitzvahs, however, since the animal was involved in that act, the animal also gets killed. So zolkadai techamina, maybe this... I'm sorry?
Why is the isha chayim misa? There was no bia. A cotton cannot perform.
Ifreit good, and toises not toises. Rashi brings in another couple of Rashis that in Masechtas Nida, and we had back in Gittin or in Ksubas, that a ben teisha, a 9-year-old, he is competent and he's capable of performing bia. So even though he doesn't have das, but he is a bar bia. Therefore, the cotton performed bia on this eishes ish. Sol kadai techemin, he should be killed, even though he's only a cotton. Kamash malan zok the pasuk nein, that since he's a cotton, he's not a baronchid, he does not get punished. So that's on the ish prat the cotton. But then the pasuk continues on asher yinaf es eishes ish. Darshanimar pratli eishes cotton. This comes to exclude a wife of a cotton. Now the obvious question is, how do you ever have a wife of a cotton? How can a cotton go and marry? If you have a boy of 10, 11, 12 years old, even though he is a bar bia, but he doesn't have enough das to make the kinyan to go and be koina and isha. So how does this work? How do you have even ishas the cotton? If you're going to go and tell me that in our case, a father can take his son and tell him do yiyud with the amivriya, no, im kein matzino ishas a cotton. Oh! So then I have a case of Ishus Lakotan, and I can answer my question, right? Rish Lakish Shaila was, is there Yiyud B'bnei Katan? There must be Yiyud B'bnei Katan, because otherwise, what does the Pasuk go and tell us? Prat Ishus Katan doesn't exist. There is no such thing as an Ishus Katan. And the answer is, there is an Ishus Katan. We're in the case of Yiyud. So the Chayra can be pushed in my Shaila. V'yamamai, what are you going to go and tell me? Einoy Miyayid, that a cotton cannot be miyayid, a maikum a maitle kra. Why does the Torah go and exclude him? Tipshemino de miyayid. So what the Gemara really is doing is going in both directions. First thing Gemara says, v'yamris miyayid. If you tell me that a cotton can be miyayid, imken matzino ishus a cotton, then I find that there is ishus to a cotton. And that's why the Torah is excluding it. Frank Gemara v'lamai, ain't a miyayid. If you're going to go and tell me that he cannot be miyayid, am I come a miyayid lekra? What do you need the miyayid for? This is non-existential. It doesn't exist. It's like saying we're going to prohibit all elephants that live on the west side from walking down Broadway. Which elephants live on the west side? It doesn't exist. So therefore, there's no such thing as an aishas cotton. If you tell me ain't a miyayid, then the whole concept of aishas cotton doesn't exist. Therefore, tipshemino de miyayid. Let's be poishit that in fact a cotton can be miyayid, and that's why the Torah says, even though normally I would go and tell you that a cotton cannot be miyayid, it cannot go and perform chasana. However, in the case of yud, he can be a married man. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us that if someone commits adultery with his wife, is mezana with his wife, he's off the hook. Why? Because the Torah says that's exeris akasa prat eishes cotton, that there is no din of misa. It's an iser eishes ish because she is validly married to this cotton. However, there's no din of misa. So kimar amar avashi, no, you have no raya. The pasuk is not talking about a cotton that was miyayid, but hacha b'yavim ben teisha shana b'yamechad abal yevem teyaskinan. We're talking about a Yavam who's only 9 years old. This is a follow-up to what Rabbi was asking before. You can have a Yavam, he's only 9 years old. He's a bar bia. If he's a bo alivemtoi, midaraisa havyalei. I'm sorry, chazyalei. Minatoira, they are man and wife. The reason for that, of course, is because even though a normal child of 9 years old cannot have enough das to go make a marriage, however, here you have already a zika, meaning that the there was already a bond of marriage between them as a result of the older brother who never passed away. All you have to now is, you know, tighten that bond, go and tighten the strings that connect them. So that a 9-year-old can do. So therefore, that is the case of the Torah. When the Torah says, Ish, Asher Yinafes, Eishes Ish, and the Gemara Darshins, Eishes Ish, probably Eishes Cotton, it's not talking about the cotton that does Yud. It could very well be that a cotton cannot do Yud. The Gemara is not being poshit that Shaila. Rather, the Gemara is saying it could be talking about another case, about a Yavam who's 9 years old, lives with his Yavama, and guess what? They are now ish v'ishtoi, they're now husband and wife. Nevertheless, the Torah says that if someone goes and lives with that wife, he is potter from Misa. Says Yomar, Mao the same, I would have thought, given the Midraisa, Chazile, he can go and live with her, and there's a Zika, Ubiyasik Bia, because he's 9 years old. And therefore, Abba Alem Eschai Be'eshes Ish, anybody who lives with his wife, with that Yavama, after the Yibam, would get Misa, Kamash Malon Aznisht. So bottom line is, we thought we had a good raya from that Pasuk, and the answer is no, because we're not talking about a cotton that performed Yud, we're talking about a cotton that performed Yibum. So you might have your law, so do you have an answer to
the... Are we saying that, we said in the Tosfos, that a woman who commits adultery, the wife of a katan is neregas.
Correct.
And now we're saying no. What are we? I got the traffic is confusing me. Is she a married woman? And now we're saying, but she's excluded from Misa because of being a neregas. What's the Gemara's conclusion?
The Tosis was talking about the first half of the pasuk, and the Gemara is now talking about the second half of the pasuk. If you go back to the beginning of the pasuk, ish prat the cotton, if a man of course is mizana with an HS ish, naturally he gets misa. What happens if the one that's mizana is only 10 years old? Then he does not get misa. Although she does, he does not get misa. Now the reason why she gets misa because she is a full fledged HS ish. She is married to a gadol. She herself is a gedoyla, and therefore it's a classic situation of a married woman who unfortunately is mizana with this cotton. She is going to go and get the books thrown at her, and not only the books, if she happens to be an arusa, she'll have the stones thrown at her. Otherwise she'll get chenek if she's a married lady with nisuin. While the cotton is off the hook, he will not get misa. He's certainly not going to get any credit for what he did, but he does not get Misa. Second half of the pasuk is talking about an Eishes Ish, a woman that's married to a cotton. Now you say to yourself, how can a woman be married to a cotton? So originally we thought it was a cotton that's performing Yud. Now the Gemara says we're talking about a cotton that performed Yibum. In such a case, the Eishes cotton, the wife, although they aren't happen to be man and wife, but the man and wife doesn't go to the same level of a normal Godel and Gedoyla being married. Here you have a cotton married to a Gedoyla, man and wife. She cannot marry anybody else. If she lives with somebody else, she's Oiver on Neof, Loisinof. However, the Torah says, nevertheless, because she's married to a cotton, she does not get Misa. Okay? Zuktimar may have the law. So now we're back to square one. What's the din of yud by b'noi cotton? Can you be meyad or not? So tiyamaram toshema the omerav ayvu omerav yanai ain yud elabi godoil. Oh, so we've answered our shaila. Rabbi Ayvu says in the Rabbi Yanai, yud is only by a godol, not by a cotton. But then he surprisingly adds ain yud elami das. You have to make sure that yud is with das. So frey tiyamara tarti. Aren't these two really redundant? Presumably when he says, ain yud el midas, that means that you have to have a godol. So if you have to have a godol, we already said, ain yud el begodol. So why are we repeating ourselves? So Gemara has two answers. To answer number one is matam ka'omar. This second part, ain yud el midas, is explaining why ain yud el begodol, because the godol has to have das. Matam ain yud el begodol, if you say ain yud el midas. So that's The first pshat. Oh, we're saying just like he has to be a gadol, she has to have das. Not that she's a gadol, of course, because after all, if she's a gadol, she wouldn't be an omivri in the first place. An omivri, by definition, is only by iktana. As soon as she becomes a nara, she leaves her slavery as a result of the fact that she has simonim. So what does that mean, midas dido? Midas dido means, explains Rashi, that you have to advise her of what's going to happen, and she has to go and be makabel, she has to be maskim. So therefore, she has to consent. This is not something that you can go enforce her. Remember we had by yibam, it says, v'yibma afil bal korcha. By yir, there's no such thing. By yir, she has to consent to being miyu edes. How do I know? The Tani Abai Bereid Rebavo, Asher lo yoada. The Pasuk says, Im ro'a be'enei adoineha, Asher lo yoada vihevda. The Odoin and the son are not interested in Yud, then vihevda, you have to go and be poider through Giro'in Kesef. So that Darshan Yimar, Asher lo yoada, Malamit Shetzorach li yoada. It comes to tell you that you have to go and yoada. Now what does it mean you have to go and be yoada? So Rashi says that the word Yo'ada is identical in letters to the word Deya. If you take the word Yo'ada, Yud Ayin Dalid Hey, switch around the letters, and you get to Dalid Yud Ayin Hey. Take the Dalid out from the middle, put it at the beginning of the word, and now Yo'ada means Deya. And therefore that comes to tell you that you have to go and advise her that you're going to get married now through Yud. She's not old, she's only 10 years old. But nevertheless, you tell her, Shprinza, today you're getting married. Really? Yes. Do you consent? Yes. So that's the inyan of that it needs das, even though the das of the minor is la b'nei dayaninu. But here the Torah says a special din of Yuada, and the Mefarshim say the whole term Yud is such a strange term. If Yud just means getting married, why doesn't it say in the Pasuk, Asher loy nat yuada, yischatin lo, yikach oisa, like yikach ish isha, kicha kicha, toke asher nosa. What is this lashon of yuada? So therefore, the Mefarshim say that's what Rashi means, that the word yuada was specially used by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to give you a second connotation. Not only is she getting married, but it has to be with her deya, with her haskam, her knowledge and her consent. Good. Sizokti Gemara, who Tani Lavu Amarla, the same person who just said this drasha explained it. The Kedusha Yud Valim Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. The Amar Moisir showing this lav the Kedusha Nitnu. What he's telling us is that this Maimer Chazal really fits in with the pshat of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. As you know, we've had already over the last few days a discussion: how does an Odoin perform Yud with his Oma Ivriya? So Pashit Pshat is the Mois Rishoinis. Mois Rishoinis means that this Odoin, when he purchased the Oma Ivriya, he paid the father Lomazong $500, and therefore that $500 was for a multi-purposed $500. Number one, to purchase her, and number two, if and when he or his son performs Yud, this would be the Kesef Kedushin. You don't have to shell out another $5 or $50 or $100. He already paid $500 and that covers the Kedushin as well. However, we have the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, at least according to some, holds that Moisir Shainis love the Kedushin Nitnu. Oh, Soy Bazoi, how's he Mekadisher? He doesn't give her a shtar. He's not Mekadish Bebia. So says Rashi, he's Mekadesher with the remaining time left on the clock of her slavery. Which means, let's assume, for example, instead of $500, that he paid $600. And if she's going to serve as a slave for 6 years, that means each year is $100. Aha. What happens if she already served the Odoin for 5.5 years? So how much is left? $50. Okay, $50 is enough to Mekadesh Eso Isha. So therefore, he says to her, you no longer have to work for me the equivalent of $50 worth of 6 months of slavery. Rather, I mekadesh you with that money, the money that you owe me. It's like a halvah situation. You owe me for the next 6 months $50 worth of slavery. I moichel it, and I mekadesh you with that mechila. And in fact, the Gemara is going to say shortly, you have to have at least one pruta left of time for her to still serve as a slave. So you can mekadesh her with that shava pruta. So if we're on the final day of the 6 years, and assuming that based on your calculations, there's still enough of a shava pruta for that last day of servitude, he says to her, you no longer have to serve me today. I give you that pruta, I moichel you, it's yours, and with that I mekadesh you.
Didn't yes. We learned that you cannot be mekadesh with a choy before. This is like, because he's not giving her anything in her hand. We had this
I'm very happy, Rabbi, that you bring that point up. If you just skip down to three lines before the end of the Omud, you'll see the last three lines. The Omer Rava Omer of Nachman HaMekadish B'milve. If you're Mekadish with a loan, Shiesh Oleam Mashkin Mikudeshes Mid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say that you can be Mekadish B'milve. We'll see more about that momentarily. Zokti Gemara Vayter. So according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, he holds Mois Rishonis Lav the Kiddushin Nitnu. Why is the Gemara adding that? What the Gemara is saying is that if you would say that the Mois Rishonis the Kiddushin Nitnu, L'choyre, you don't need the das of the or the haskama of the Amivria, because her father is the one that's being Mekadisha. It's just like, let's assume you're not talking about an Amivria situation. You're talking about a father of a girl who's only 10 years old, 11 years old. He's allowed to give her into marriage. The Pasuk says, "Es biti nosati l'ish hazeh." He's allowed to marry her off. Not only is he allowed to marry off a ketana, but even a nara is allowed to go and marry off, and he gets the kesef kedushin. Only when she becomes a bayeres, then he loses his rights to go and marry her off. So therefore, when a father sells his daughter as an omavriya, assuming that the mois rishon is the kedushin nitnu, then fine, he gave his haskama. We don't need her deya. We don't need her haskama. The fact that in the case of Yehuda, the Gemara is saying, yes, we do need her deya, says the Gemara, apparently this goes like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that says, Mois Rishon is lovely Kiddushin Nitnu. That original money that was given to the Av, that's great, but that doesn't help you for the Kiddushin. For the Kiddushin, you have to go and be Moichel her the remaining slavery period of time, if it's worth more than a Shavu Pruta, and be Mekadesh with that. So then, she is the one that is now engaging in the transaction, not the father. So we need her deya, we need her haskama. That's what the Gemara is saying. Hutani levelamala. When do you say that you need midas dida? It must be like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. However, nachmi yitzakama no afil teim lekiddushin nitnu. Even if you say that the mois rishonis were lekiddushin, shani hachad yamarachmani yada. Here the Torah gives us a gzeiros hakosuf, and the Torah is telling us, in your normal situation where a father marries off his daughter when she's still a ketana or a nara, you don't need her das. You don't need it. However, in a case when the father sold his daughter as an omivria, even though we have his das, in all cases we still need her das. Even though the father receives the kesef kedushin in the form of the kesef that was obtained when she was sold as an omivria. Makes no difference. It's a gzeiros hakosuf. An omivria that's getting married, you always need her das. That's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok says. And therefore, even if you hold Mois Rishon is kedushin, you don't have to go according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Mois Rishon is lav. Even if you hold Mois Rishon is kedushin, the Torah says, you need her deya. Now, we spoke so much about this Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, my Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Who is this Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Deciding we have a braisa. It says in the pasuk, "Asher lo yada v'hevda, tzarich shehei shoyis bayoyim kidei pidiya." There has to be enough value left of the slavery time that she is still supposed to perform, that has to be at least a Shava Pruta. Mikan Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Yeshoyis B'yoyim Kedilasis, Yimah Shava Pruta, Mekudeshes. Vimlav, Eina Mekudeshes. What does this mean? The Odoin has been tossing in his bed back and forth now for the last 5 years and 364 days, or perhaps 353 days, according to the Jewish calendar. Should I go and be do Yid? Should I not do Yid? Should I do Yid? Should I not do Yid? Finally, on the final day, we're about to go and make a farewell banquet for this Amavriya. She's going to leave. Perhaps she is now going to, she is now becoming Bat Mitzvah and she's leaving Besimanim. Or it could be that he bought her when she was only 5 years old and now she's 11, 6 years later, and we're saying farewell. Or it could be it's Yovel year. But anyway, the point is that she's about to go and leave, and at the final moment, the Odin says, you know what? This would be a very efficient, quick way to get married. I don't have to send out invitations. I don't have to go and get musicians. I don't have to get photographers. I'm just going to do Yud, and we're done, and we're married. Ah, says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you can do that even on the final day, as long as the time left in that day is long enough for her to produce a Shava Pruta worth of work. It's not that we're going to measure the amount of work that she's going to do, but it means based on the amortization of the original purchase price. If the original purchase price is whatever amount, $500, $600, $200, whatever it was, if on the final day, that remaining hour or two or whatever, if you amortize it in terms of the original purchase price, we still have a Shava Pruta. Then he can go Mekadesher with the Mois HaRishonis. But if not, then you cannot be Mekadesher. Then you'd have to give her brand new money because the old money has run out because it's less than the Shoyis B'yoyim. That's what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says to him. Yeh Shoyis B'yoyim. You cannot decide that you want to get married 2 minutes before Shkia. No, that doesn't work. You can down Mincha perhaps at that time. But you can't be Mekadesha with the original money at that time because you don't have a Shava Pruta left. Therefore, Eina Mekudeshes. If you go marry in the beginning of the day, where presumably there is a Shava Pruta for a day's work, then you can be Mekadesha based on the original mice. Zuk Timara. Now, the question is, why, not based on the original mice, based on the amortization of the original mice. Sefreita Zokti Mara Alma, what do we see a contribution of Yehuda? Kosav Mois Rishonis, love the Kiddush and Nitnu. That original Mois Rishonis are not considered to be the Kess of Kiddush. What does Gemara mean? Because if the original Mois Rishonis were the Kiddush and Nitnu, who cares how much time and how much slavery is left? I don't care about the amortization. What I care is that he gave her originally a ring. This case, not a ring, but $500. It didn't go to her, it went to the father. Okay, but he paid it. So it's like any time a person is Mekadosh HaSeisha and says, and this should be effective either Me'achshav V'ad Achash Loishim Yoyim, or he says, I'm being Mekadosh HaLiachash Loishim Yoyim. The point is, I'm giving you now the Kesef Kiddushin. So even though there's nothing left at the end of the 30 days, or here at the end of the 6 years, who cares? I gave money at the outset. The fact that I'm doing this amortization at the last moment is the chasim and the mois rishonis lav l'kiddushin nitnu. Or Rav Nachman Yitzchak, oh my no, I feel the same l'kiddushin nitnu. Even if you hold the kiddushin, this is the same Rav Nachman by Yitzchak of before. He says, don't bring me a clear cut raya that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds mois rishonis lav l'kiddushin nitnu. Even if you hold the kiddushin nitnu. Nevertheless, there has to be enough time, Shani Hacha, the Amr Rahman of Hevda. Since the Torah says Vehevda, therefore the Torah is telling us is, yes, you can use the Mois HaRishonis, however, there has to be enough Kidei Pidyoin. And how much would be enough Kidei Pidyoin? At least a Shava Pruta. Not that I'm being Mekadisher with the Shava Pruta. I'm being Mekadisher with the Mois HaRishonis. However, there has to be at least enough time and of slavery and servitude left, which would be worth for Giro'in Kesef purposes, for Pidyon purposes, at least a Shava Pruta. So now that we've had this Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and we've introduced this concept of Moisir Rishon is Lav Kiddushin Nitnu. The Gemara is going to tell us a couple of Nafkiminis Lahaloch. It's Omer Rav and Rav Nachman. Omer Odom Lubita Ketana. A person can go and tell. Now, we're not talking about an Omevriya situation. We're just talking about a normal, regular father and daughter. A father says to his daughter, I see that you are a mature young lady, even though you're only 10 or 11 years old, and therefore I hereby authorize you to marry yourself off to a proper, wonderful chassan. He says, L'bita ktana, tzi'i v'kibli kiddushech. Go out, find a chassan, find a ben Torah, a Talmud Chacham, who is Yirei Shemayim, who has parnasa, comes from a good family, all the malice that you're looking for, and if you find that, go ahead and get married. Now we would normally say, she's lav b'nei dayan ninu. How can she go and accept guest of the Kiddushin? She doesn't have das. Therefore says the Gemara, mid Rabbi Yois Rabbi Yehuda, the lav om Rabbi Yois Rabbi Yehuda, Mois Rishon is lav l'kiddushin ninu. It's not the father that is effecting the Kiddushin in the case of the Am Ivriya, because it's the original money doesn't go l'kiddushin. The original money, the Odin can take in, not the Odin, the Av can take and use it for whatever, to buy bread, to give tzedakah, whatever he wants. It's not for Kiddushin. How am I Mekadish, this young lady, this Amavriya, v'chimishayi b'shava pruta have Kiddushi? Only because of that remaining shava pruta on the final day of the 6 years, if there's enough Rabbeisai, but the father is no longer involved. In fact, the father Chulila could have passed away. We're talking about a situation where the Odoi now says on the final day of the 6 years, I want to go and be miyayed you. I did my amortization schedules. I used my calculator, or I spoke to my actuary, and he confirmed that the amount of servitude here on the last day is the equivalent of a shava pruta. I am moichel that shava pruta of work, and I mekadish you with the mechilas milva, so to speak, and I want you to get married. And we said the Gemara before, she has to say yes. Once she is maskim, they're married. Where's the father? Tati, Kimaran, what do you say to all of this? So if you hold Moisri Shardis a Kiddushin Nitnu, the father gave the blessing as to the marriage when he got the money. Because it's as if the Odoin says to him, not only am I paying you for your Omevriya, but I'm also giving you Kesef Kiddushin for the Omevriya. He doesn't have to say Befeish. It's implicit if you hold Moisri Shardis a Kiddushin Nitnu. So we got the father's askama. But contribution Yehuda, you don't need the father's askama because you can go and marry her 5 years later, 6 years later, as long as there's still a Shema Pruta left. And you have to advise her, and she has to be maskim. And it works. Oh, Zuktimor Hachanami Loishna. Based on this, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it's a tremendous chiddush. But just like he holds that a girl who's not bas mitzvah can accept yud, and they become husband and wife, here too, a girl who's empowered and authorized by her father can become a husband and wife. She can become a wife to someone else. Bechidish, but that's what it says. Yes, I see that Barry has a question.
Yeah, so when is she married? If she's not about Basdea, then if she accepts the Kedushin, she can't be a Shaliach because she's not old enough yet.
Correct.
She's 11 years old. Father says, go and accept your Kedushin. She goes at the age of 11, she accepts it. Is she only married when she's 12? And therefore, that first year is kind of like a pending marriage?
She's married immediately.
How?
It's
what legal mechanism?
It's similar in the sense that it is as legally effective as, for instance, a Yavam and a Yavama, that even though she's not bas mitzvah yet, the Yavam can go and marry her, do Yibam, and now they are ish v'isha l'chol davar. Even though she did not participate in using her mental faculties, because la bar das. But in
the
case...
There's a difference there. A Yavama can become a wife, bal korcha.
Exactly.
The original kedushin of the brother, the deceased brother. Here, there's no prior kedushin. The father didn't accept the money, the girl accepts the money. Where did the transaction take place that locks her in as a married woman?
On the final day of the 6 years, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda?
No, I'm not talking about that case. I understand that. I got that. I'm talking about the case of the father saying to his 11-year-old daughter, not an Amariya, go and accept your Kedushin. When did a bar daya receive the money from the husband to lock this in? She is too far away from being able to accept it herself. When did the transaction occur that the kinyan of kedushin makes her into a full married woman?
As soon as she finds a proper chosin, and the chosin says, I'm willing to go marry you, and the chosin takes out a ring or gives her money, and she says, I am maskim, although you and I, before we got to this gemara, would have said, this is irrelevant, this is meaningless, this is silly, this is nonsense, she is a ktana, her haskama is meaningless, this kedushin is meaningless. That's what we would have said. Says Rav Am Rav Nachman, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, I already find a precedent of a girl who's less than 12 years old, but she is empowered to receive the kedushin herself, according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm going to take a parallel situation, even if she's not an Amavriya, she'll take Kesef Kedushin, if the father permits and authorizes and empowers her to go and do that. Okay? It's a big Kiddush, I don't disagree, but that's what the Gemara is telling us. It's not such a major leap of faith. Once you're saying that a girl who's 11.9 years old can accept Kesef Yud in the form of this Mechilas Milva, so then another girl, her sister, who is not an Amivriya, can go and receive Kesef Kedushin, but of course she has to be empowered by her father, because her father normally has the sole rights. If the father waives his rights or transfers his rights or empowers her, that is sufficient according to Rav Am Rav Nachman, Ali the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Okay?
So in the second case, we're saying that in the second case, her power to receive it is parallel and derivative of her father's ability to sell her as an Amma Ivriya, and then once she is an Amma Ivriya, she has the power to accept Kedushin through Mechila of the Geroin Kesef.
Exactly right.
That transfers over in this case as a parallel, even though there's no Amma Ivriya precedent, there's no Kesef transferring hands, because there's no the original money is not given for Kedushin at all, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda.
Exactly right. You've restated it very succinctly.
Okay. No, I didn't see usually backing up a Kedushin is a transaction of some kind between legally competent parties. Here there wasn't. What we're saying is that this transfer of it, because it's derivative, works. Okay? All right.
But the Amavriya, you have the same question. It's not legally competent parties. She's not Bas Mitzvah. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, nevertheless, she can go and accept the Kesef Kedushin, not the physical Kesef Kedushin, but the legal Kesef Kedushin, that Mechila, on that last day of work.
But she owns herself. She owns herself, and she's already in a context where there is a transaction waiting to happen of her. Geroin Kesef, of her leaving her servitude. Here there's no context. We're just transferring it over because the father empowered her.
How did it happen in the Omavriya case that she was able to marry on her own? She's allowed bar das.
The Torah put that katana in a context where she needed payment of money to enter servitude. And that Torah context gives her someone paying money to get her out of her servitude would free her. The waiver of that is effective kedushin. Here, there's no context. She's a minor. That's what's upsetting me. That's what's puzzling me.
You're focusing on two aspects. Number one, the kesef kedushin, and number two, the minor. So let's take each one. As far as the kesef kedushin, in this case, were much better off because his real Kesef Kedushin, as opposed to the Amavriya, was just a Mechila. So in this respect, it's more. Number two, the fact that this minor, when she was an Amavriya, she was able to accept and be maskim to the Kedushin, is also because the father empowered her. How did the father empower her? By marrying her off, not marrying her off, by selling her off as an Amavriya, and since according to Yosef Yehuda, her servitude can be used as the Kesef Kedushin. Yeah, but what about her Das? What about her Deya? The father empowered her with the Deya, saying, I'm now leaving the scene. You now have all the rights vis-a-vis getting married. You make the decision, even though you're allowed bar das, but I empower you. Here too, says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, a regular father that takes a regular daughter and says, at the age of 10 or 11 years old, I empower you, and you're going to get Kesef Kedushin. You're on your own, you can do whatever you want. So, says Rabbi Nachman, it is sufficiently parallel to the case of the Yom Evriya, where there too the minor, having been empowered by the father because the father sold her into servitude, into slavery, says, I'm leaving the scene. Now you're up to your own designs, your own skills, whatever you want. When time comes of Yud, we have to have her Deya and her Haskama, like the Gemara says, Yuada, that means Deya. Shine. Now she has her Deya and Haskama. It works. Here too, outside of the Ivriya scenario, if the father empowers her and says, you're on your own, you can get married, she can go get married, get the Kesef Kedushin, and she's married. And now we have a second halacha. The Omer of Nachman, the Omer of Omer of Nachman. We're now down to three lines from the bottom. Omer of Rav Nachman, ha-mekadesh b'milva, she'yesh ole ha-mashkin mikudeshes, mirbiyos b'yehuda. If you're mekadesh b'milva, the milva means not that he's extending a milva, but that he's being moichel a milva. And as Brother Shai told us earlier, we had earlier on in the Gemara, if you're moichel the continued payment of the milva, that in itself is not mois, because she's not getting anything now. However, if she has hano'ah, which is worth a shava pruta of the mechilas ha-milva, that's sufficient. And here she's getting that hano'ah, and the hano'ah is she doesn't have to go and have any more slavery. Now she's going to become an eishes ish, no longer a slave. So that's a tremendous hano'ah. So mekadesh b'milva she'yesh le'amashkin, if a person is mekadesh as ish and says, here, I mekadesh you with the milva, meaning you don't have to go and pay, she'yesh le'amashkin, and there is a mashkin, there's collateral, mikudeshes. Same as we said before, the original monies, that's not the kedushin. Hai halvoi. So what's the halva? So Rashi explains that the halvoi is the fact that she still owes that final day of slavery. Ah, see, now Makadisha with that milva and saying you don't have to pay back. The higufa mashkini, and she herself is the mashkin. What means that she herself is the mashkin? Because he's saying, I am giving you back to yourself. You no longer belong to me as a slave. You're now on your own. And therefore, on the top of the Amid base, when there's left that period of slavery that she normally would have had to go and serve as a slave, which is worth a shava pruta, and he's miyayed her with that shava pruta, ha-bekidushin, and it works. So hachanami lo, just like it works in the Umma Ivriya situation, here too it will work in the case of the Milva Shiesh Le'amashkin. If you look at the top Rashi over here, on the second Rashi, on the third line, this Rashi goes back to the Umid Aleph. Lav Le'kidushin Nitnu. The original monies were not given for Kedushin. Veinu Mekadesha. He's not Mekadesh with the original monies. El Al Yidei Giroin Shiesh Le'Oleha. But rather with whatever amount is still left in the amortization schedule, they have a milva, that's a milva. Means because she owes that in terms of her services for the next 3 hours, for the next day, for the next 2 days, whatever it is until the end of the 6 years. Either she owes the period of slavery or the value of that period of slavery, because the hevda, there could have been Giroi and Kesev, and she could have redeemed herself, or the father could have redeemed her, and then she would have been free. So that has a value more than a Sheva Pruta. The Atzma, and she herself is the Mashkin, is the collateral. If I don't go and pay back, you got me. And therefore, says the Gemara, just like in the case of the Ivriya, it works. If a person in Mekadesh is a Isha B'milva, Sheyesh Le'a Mashkin, it also works. Tan Rabbana. Ketzad mitzvah yid. How do you perform yid? In other words, how does it work? Oyim lo b'fnei shnayim, hariat mikudeshesli, hariat miuresesli, afilu b'soif sheish, v'afilu samach l'shkiyas achama, v'noyig ba minik ishus, v'noyig ba minik shivkus. What does the Tanakhama say? On the final day, for instance, he wants to go and be mekadesher with yid, just like any time you want to go and be mekadesh. What do you have to have? You have to have two Edom. That's why having two Edom by every chasana, they call out the names of the Edom. You have to have the Edom Kinyan. Here too, when he wants to perform the Yid, Ariyat L'Kadeshesli, Amidat L'Kadeshesli, and it's got to be the Fnei Shnaim in front of two Edom. Even on the last day, even if it's only 5 minutes left to Mincha, to Shkia, also good. The Noig Ba Minik Ishus, once they are married, they become husband and wife, and this whole Omivriya business is now history, they're now regular Mr. and Mrs. Oh, no. 5 minutes before Shkia, too late. Because those 5 minutes is less than a Shava Pruta worth. If you're talking about 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, the whole day. Again, of course, it depends on how much the Odin paid for her in the first place. But assuming that he paid for her normal amounts, then 5 minutes is not worth a Shava Pruta. Maybe the last hour is worth a Shava Pruta. Maybe 5 hours. But certainly not Somach Shkia, a minute left before Shkia. So the whole machlokes between the Tanakam, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, is on that word, Vafila Samach L'Shkia Sachama. Says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, oh, no, no. Samach L'Shkia Sachama, if it's a minute left, that doesn't do it. It's got to be at least an hour or two or three. That there should be at least a Shava Pruta in terms of the Giro in Kasef, had we amortized the amount of slavery that she still owes on the final day. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Omer, Im Yesho, is B'yom K'nei Lassi, Yom Shava Pruta, Mekadashu, Im Lav, Eine Mekadashu. And now the Gemara gives a mashal. Now Rashi says that the mashal means that based on what we just learned, we can derive the following halacha. Rashi says, "Kloima mikan atalomed." From this we can learn a parallel halacha. So it's not mashal that the mashal is the example, and now what we're doing is we're going to try to fit in the halacha of Tanakama, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, into that example, but rather we're going to try to extrapolate from one of these tanoim another halacha lemaisa. So what's that halacha lemaisa? Moshe le'om le'isha iskanchali me'achshav. Remember the key word he said, me'achshav, li'achish lo'ishem yoyim. U'bo'acher v'kitcha b'toish lo'ishem yoyim. And somebody else came in, an interloper comes in and he wants to marry her instead. What is the halacha? She mikudeshes l'rishoin. It's too late, mister. She's already mikudesh to the first one. Because the first one said, me'achshav u'li'achash lo'ishem yoyim. So even though that interloper came in on day 20, so he says, I'm here before day 30. I don't care. When day 30 happens, she's going to be mikudeshes l'mafreya. She will have been married the entire time. And that's why mikudeshes l'rishoin. So,
what's the point of saying yes? Excuse me. If he's saying me'achshav, what does 30 day, what does achar shloshim yom add?
He is not ready to go, and he's still negotiating an apartment with a real estate broker, and so therefore he says, I will officially bring you into my home in 30 days. But I want to mekadesh you now as a placeholder. I want to make sure that nobody else from the street comes and gives you mois kiddushin in the meantime. I want us to seal the deal. She says, I agree. She takes from him the ring. We're in Mekudeshes, but it's only going to be effective in 30 days. But when it's happened in 30 days, it's going to go in the Mafreya to today. You're really...
So I understand. Hold on, Barry.
Your question that you're asking now is not a question on our Gemara. It's a general question that you have throughout Gittin and Kiddushin and Ksubis. Whenever you have a person that is either giving a get or a person is giving Kesef Kiddushin, and he says, mi'achshav, uli'achish lo'ishim yoyim. Why is he doing that? Why doesn't he just go and say, we're getting married now? So we had situations, for instance, that a person was traveling the Medina Siyam, he's going to go and be back. But he's afraid that in the meantime, somebody else is going to go and be mekadesh as Isha.
Yeah, okay.
So he says, I'm giving you the money now, and mi'at shem will be back in 30 days. If I don't come back in 30 days, then the Kedushim will, if he's not Mekayim, is tonight. But if he comes back in 30 days, he says, no, then the Mekudesh is L'mafreya. So now, Gemara says, this, that he's Mekudesh L'mafreya, by using the magic term, Me'achshav, this is, we derive that from one of the two Mandi Yomrim, either the Tanakama or Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is asking now, Moshe Leman, from whom are we deriving this halacha? Ilema Mishel Rabbi Mashal, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Ha im yesh shoyz biyoyim kedei lasis imo sheva pruta mikudashes v'im lav loy. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's not that the mois harishoynes are koine. It's only if we have enough sheva pruta at the very end of the slavery period. And so therefore, if there is enough money left on the final day, he's now being mekadesher with this amount now. And from now on, they're going to be husband and wife, but not previously. So therefore, says the Gemara, in the case of Hiskachli mi'achlu lachesh loishim yoim, if you're saying that's the marshal that we're trying to extrapolate, I wouldn't say mikudeshes l'rishon. I would say mikudeshes l'sheini, that person who skipped in the middle of the kiddushin. In other words, if we're saying according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that initial purchase of the Amma Evriya 6 years ago, that was zero. What causes the kiddushin? The Masa Kiddushin, the Masa Yud on the final day. So if somebody came in between, in other words, came in during the 6 years, he'd be Mekadesher, he would be able, that would be an effective Kiddushin. So we wouldn't say Mekadeshes L'Rishon, we would say Mekadeshes L'Sheini. And therefore says the Gemara, Amravacha B'Rei D'Rava Mashal Rabbanan. We mean the Rabbanan. In other words, the Rabbanan that hold that the initial Kesef Kinyan for buying the Amavriya was also the Kesef Kiddushin. So that's a nice parallel. Because when the father sold her to the Adoin, he knew that the Adoin might or might not perform Yud today, or in a month, or in a year, or up to 6 years. It was a blank check, so to speak. I took the $500, I the Av of the girl, and I say implicitly to the Adoin, whenever you're ready to marry her over the next 6 years, I am maskim, she is yours, do whatever you have to. So what happens if, in fact, on the final day, he's Mekadesher? It's going to work Lamafreya. How does it work Lamafreya? Because he didn't give any Kesef Kiddushin now. The Kesef Kiddushin was given 6 years ago at the time of the original purchase. That was the Kesef Kiddushin. So it goes all the way back. So therefore, it's implicit as if he said, Me'achshav uli achar sheshes.
I'm going to kill Aryeh.
No, please don't kill Aryeh. That it's as if he said, Me'hayoy me'achshav. Ad li acher or ad soif sheish shanim. What happens if somebody else tries to go marry in between? It's not going to work. He's going to be married. She's going to be married to the original Adoin. Why would she be married to the original Adoin? Because he gave Kesef Kiddushin 6 years ago. Not to her, but to the father. So Zokti Gemara, this marshal that you're trying to go and say, that if you say mi'achav, mi'achshav, uli'achish loishim yoim, somebody else came in between. That is meaningless. She's Mekudeshes L'Rishoin. Here too, if somebody else tried to come in between to go and marry her, also if you say Me'achshav Uli'achish L'Rishim Yoim, it will be worthless. Just like by the Amavriya, somebody during the 6 years tries to Mekadesh her, he cannot. If the Odoin eventually is not Me'ayed her, then he forfeited his rights. He's allowed to waive his rights of Yud. But if he does perform Yud before the end of the 6 years, as he is entitled to, and since he gave the money at the outset, at upfront, even though he didn't use the word Me'achshav, it's implicit, because that is his right to go Mimiyayit at any time. And the Kesef Kiddushin, he doesn't have to give a second time, he already gave it one time. So therefore, says the Gemara, the marshal that we gave of the person making Me'yoyim, and somebody else coming in between, that is a sufficient parallel to our case of the Omivriam. Frank Timura, it is such a good parallel, Pshita. I don't even see the Chiddush over here. Just like the Rabbanan say that in the case of the Omivriya, you pay the Kiddushin at the outset of the 6 years, even though you only might marry her up to 6 years later, but that's effective and that works. And therefore, if somebody else tries to come in the meantime, he will not be able to go and uproot that Kiddushin, because it goes L'mafreya. So when he says Me'achshav, it also goes L'mafreya. What's the Chiddush? It's Chedav HaPashut. So to Matei the Chiddush. Ma'u d'sei Mahalei Omer Le'Me'achshav. In the case of the Odoin, The word me'achshav was never used. It's only implicit that it's as if he said me'achshav, but he never said it. So I might have thought that in the case of the mashal, what was the mashal? When a person said, ha'oimer le'ishis gadshali, me'achshav le'achish lo'ishim yoyim, maybe you don't even need me'achshav. Because if you are using the omivri as a parallel, just like over there, when he gave the ma'is to go and buy the omivriya, he didn't say me'achshav uli acher sheshes or shesh shanim. He just took the kesef. He just paid the kesef, and it's understood and it's implicit that there's a me'achshav factor here. So I might have said the same thing applies to a chosan that gives a kala money, and he says hariat mekudeshes li achish loishim yom without the me'achshav. Maybe that would also be sufficiently implicit, and therefore you don't need the me'achshav. Kamash malon. That's why the Gemara has to tell you the mashal that when would Rabbanan say in a non-Ivriya case that the interloper cannot be mekadesh? Only when he said me'achshav. But if he just said hariat mekudeshes li achish loishim yom, that would not be sufficient, and therefore the person who came in on the 15th day or the 20th day, he would be married to her because it's before the chalois, the effective date of the 30 days. Tani idach. And now we have almost a reverse situation. Very similar to what we had, but you'll see what I mean by reversal. Hamoichrez vitoi. Person sold his daughter as an ivriya. V'holach v'kidcha li'acher. After he sold his ivriya, she was at that time 10 years old, now with the full knowledge that the Odin may or may not be miyayid, guess what? The Odin says, I'm going to think about it. And initially, he was not miyayid. And then the father of the daughter finds a nice, fine younger man and says, you know, this would be a wonderful chosin for my daughter. I don't know what this Odin may or may not do, but I'm going to try to thwart him, and I'm going to go and take Kesef Kiddushin from this fine younger man and marry off my daughter to that individual. The question is, does that work? After all, she's no longer his. She now belongs to the Odin. She's an Amivriya. Does that work? Zokti Yomara, Tani Idach, Amoichrez Bitoi, V'Holach. Holach is not going on her. It's V'Holach. The father goes now. V'Kitchuli Acher. And he's mekadesh her to a second individual. Sichek ba'odoin umukudeshes l'sheini. Div Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. This is, of course, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai that we keep on having, that the original kesef kinyan to go and buy or sell the ivriya is not the kesef gedushin. It's only when he performs the yud. And that time, if there's enough of a shava pruta left of slavery, he'll be mekadesher with the hanoah of the mechila smilva, the mechila on the slavery. But until that point, they're not married. Since they're not married, the father, if he wants to, can go and, I'm not saying that he's a nice guy, it may be unethical, but lemaisa, if he wants to marry off to somebody else, sichik ba'odoin, sichik means etem oskishpilt. He played with the Odoin. Umikadeshu Zashenin should be married to the second one. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mefarshim add that although he has Sichik Ba'odoin, it doesn't mean that he tricked the Odoin and the Odoin is out of pocket, but the father will have to go and return the money to the Odoin, or she will continue being the slave for the Odoin, but she'll be a married woman to the chosin to whom the father was mekadesh. So it'll be an interesting situation of an omevriya who you cannot marry because of the fact that she's already married to somebody, because the father took her and married her off to someone else. The father, the odin at any time can go and say, I could care less that you tried to marry her off to this fine younger man. I have the only keys to marrying her. That was part and parcel of the original transaction. Because if you remember, I already gave Kesef Kiddushin. I didn't call it Kesef Kiddushin. I called it Kesef Kinyan. But the Mois Rishon is the Kiddushin. So I already paid. Since I already paid, she's my wife. And or I can decide at any moment to take her as my wife. You're trying to get somebody else in between. That's worthless. So we have machloikis from Yosef Yehuda and Rabban. Again, Moshel, we're going to extrapolate from that. Li'oimel Isha, Hariat Mekudeshes Li, and notice we leave out the Me'achshav. Hariat Mekudeshes Li, Li'achash Loishim Yoim. Ubo Acher V'kitchem B'toish Loishim Yoim. That if somebody else tries to go and come in the middle of the 30 days, Mekudeshes Hashem, in this case, she in fact is Mekudesh to the second one, that interloper, that guy that came in on day 15. Why? Because the original husband didn't say Hariat Mekudeshes Li Me'achshav. He said Hariat Mekudeshes Li Achish Loishim Yoim. Zokti Moritz, and now once again, Moshe Leman, who from whose halacha can we extrapolate this halacha? Ilayim the Rabbanon. What did the Rabbanon say? The Rabbanon said that even though the father accepted Kesef Kiddushin from somebody else in between, the Odin laughs at the father and says, I'm going to be miyayit. I don't care what you did. So if that's the case, Elim the Rabbanon, Amir Rabbanon, Rotz Liyay miyayit, that the Odin has all the keys in his hand and he could still be miyayit, even though the father married her off to somebody else. So he bazoi. So what are you telling me over here? That if the Moshe is Oim Isha, that Mekudesh is L'Sheini. According to Rabbanon, it's not Mekudesh is L'Sheini, it's Mekudesh is L'Rishai. El Omer Rabach Brei the Rav Moshe Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Ah, since Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says it's not the Mois Harishonis, but it's rather the last pruta which is left of her servitude. At that time, he's Mekadosher. Ah, since he's only Mekadosher at the very end of the 6 years, he was not Mekudish to her during the intervening period of time. Somebody else can go and chaperain and marry her in between. Says Yimar Pshita, since I know the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it doesn't go to Mafreya. It all goes, because it's not from the Kiddushin Rishonim, from the Mois Harishonis. It's all a brand new Maisa now. Then of course somebody else can go and Chapzacharayim in between and cut the line and marry her before. So Pshita, in the case of the Yud, when he originally paid the money, he didn't use the magic terms liachish loishim yoyim. And therefore, I would think that maybe this case should be different. That when he said hiskach liachish loishim yoyim, even though he didn't say me'achshav, it should be chal l'mafreya u'mekudeshes l'rishay. Meaning, just like in the case of the odin purchasing the omivriya, he didn't use the term me'achshav. What happens now? Afterwards, he has the right to go and be miyaed. So, here in the case of the chosin that says hariat mekudeshesli liachish loishem yoim, maybe you don't need to say meyachshav. Maybe it's implicit the word meyachshav, and therefore, if somebody else comes in between and wants to be mekadesher, we would say get out of here. I already was mekadesh this woman 30 days ago, 15 days ago, and therefore. Just like in the case of the slavery, you don't need the me'achshav. Here you don't need the me'achshav. So Timur Kamash, well, no. Since you didn't say me'achshav, you just said Ariat Mekudesh Liachish Loishim Yoim. You didn't say me'achshav. It can only be chal at the end of the 30 days. If it can only be chal then, anybody else that went and married her in between is successful, and that's why Mekudesh is L'Shem. Tanya Yidach, a third case. Oh, the father met the Odoin and says, I see that he's a nice guy. He won't enslave my daughter too badly. He's not going to go and be a vicious master. But in terms of a chosin, he's an amuret, deraisa derabanan. He's not the guy that I would want my daughter to marry. So he says to the Odoin, I'm happy to go and sell my daughter to you for the next 6 years until she gets simanim, but I'm an ashleliyai, but I do not want you to go and be miyayit. Zokti Gemara, niskayim hatanai, divremeir. The tanai is effective, and in fact, the sale will be effective. However, he cannot go and marry her, because that was the tanai, that was the stipulation. V'chom maimim imrotz liyayit miyayit. He can ignore what it says in the contract and he can be meider. Why? The Torah says that omivria sales include yud. You can't go and split it up. There's no palgidin over here. If you say dafka on the Tanai that you don't do yid, you're master mashik because of a Torah. Frey Timura, that is such a convincing argument. Doesn't Reb Meir also agree? Or Reb Meir, Tanoi Kayam? What Tanya don't we have in the Braisa? I am marrying you, but I'm not going to give you any commitment. Legabe she'er ksus v'oina. Legabe food, legabe shelter, legabe clothing, legabe living together. It's amanas zero, gunished. Harzuma kudeshes. It works. Umetanoi bottle, and the Tanai falls away. Why? Divir Meir, because he's master mashikos about Torah. Torah says, in Macheris yikach loy, she'era ksus v'aynosel yigra. You have to give the bare minimum, she'er ksus v'yoyna. If you try to make a stipulation, that stipulation is bottle umavotel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'davar she'bemamoin tanoi kayim. Rabbi Yehuda says we have to go and slice and splice. The she'er ksus, which are referring to mezoinos and to clothing, that you can be moichel. Because it's like any davar she'bemamoin, I can be moichel. But the oina, which means relations, intimacy, that's not a davar she'bemamoin, and therefore the tanai would fall away. But what do I see for Reb Meir? He says that everything falls away. The ganze tanai is bottom. So Ibazoi, the same thing should apply to the Omavriya when he says, Almanas, that you're not going to be miyayid. It's a shtark akashi Reb Meir. How can you be masamash kosu batoir? Omachiski shani hocha. Ti omakra li oma. Pa'omim shena moichra el li oma bilvad. What does that mean? The pasuk says, V'chiyimkar ish es bitoi li oma. What do we need li oma for? It could say kiyimkar ish as bitoi. Loi seitzi kateisu avadim. So I know we're talking about an oma. A person who sells his daughter, don't let her go out kateisu avadim, which means b'shein v'ayin. She can only go out b'sheish, b'yoivul, and b'simonim, as we said before. But what do we need the extra word li oma for? Ah, says the Gemara, because sometimes she's only being sold as a slave and not as a potential wife. Oh, since Xavier's a kosub. So this is not masa masha kosub b'Torah. The Torah already thought of this, and the Torah says, yeah. Under certain circumstances, you can sell her just for an umma without yud. Rabbanan highly umma my abdile. The Rabbanan that disagreed and said, you're masa masha kosub b'Torah. What do they do with the word li umma? Hayyiboy look at this sanya. Li umma. Malamicha moichra lipsulim. Father's allowed to go and marry off to a person that is prohibited from marriage to her. However, the kedushin is toifes. What type of case would that be? Rashi says, for instance, a mamzer or a nesin. They're not allowed to do yud. However, can go and sell her to such an individual. Yeah, but doesn't Oma Ivriya include yud? Says the Torah, li Oma, pa'omim, that you're only selling her for avdus, for shivchos. And therefore, that's what the Amma comes to tell you. Frank Timur Balidinu, what do I need a pasuk for? I have a kal v'chaymer. In mekadesh lepsulim, li'im karena lepsulim, if a father has the ability to be mekadesh his daughter v'ktana to a pasul. Now, we don't mean that what he's doing is legal. What he's doing is illegal. But if he marries off his daughter to a mamzer, it's chal, it's effective, because kedushin toisim chayav ilav. So what stops him from selling her to apostle? In fact, when he sells her to apostle, let them not do yid. Nobody's forcing him or her to do yid. So if he can go and force her into kedushin with apostle, he shouldn't be able to go and sell her to apostle. Says Igmar, you have no raya from that kal v'chaymer, because ma'ale mekadesh lepsulim shekein odem mekadesh bita kishehinara. You know why he can be mekadesh or lepsulim? Because he has broader powers. Not only can he go and be mekadesh his daughter when she is a ktana, but even when she's a nara. But yim karena lepsulim shekein odem moiches bita kishehinara. You cannot go and sell your daughter as an omavriya when she's already a nara, because of the famous rule the yotzachina main kosef. Only when she's a ktana, when she becomes a nara, she goes free. So you can't go and sell her when she's a nara. Talmaloyma, that's why I have the special pasuk li amma malamishem moichra lipsulim, that you can sell a girl who is a ktana as an umivriya to a mamzel, a marshal, even though yud would be prohibited, but the mechira is valid because it says li am. Reblazer oimer im malamishem moichra lipsulim harikvar nema. I don't need a pasuk to tell us that because it says the pasuk im roa beeni adoineha. Poshipshat Rabbeinu Adonel means that the Odin is not married, is not interested in marrying her because he feels that she is not an appropriate shidduch. However, the drasha of Reb Lezer is Shira'a b'nisiu'eha. What means Shira'a b'nisiu'eha? Says Rashi, Shasura loy. She's also to him. Why? Because he's a mamzer, or she's a mamzeres, or whatever happens to be the case. So that's Reb Lezer. So I don't need Li'oma to teach us that. So Matam Ali Li'oma. That he can go and sell her to a Karev, even though the Karev cannot go and marry her. Now the Karev, of course, is worse than the Pasul, because the Pasul, Kedushin is Toifis. Karev, the Kedushin is not even Toifis, because it's an Erva. Right, tomorrow, what do I need La'amah for that? Validinu, I have a Kalvachaymer. If he can go and sell her to a Pasul, where in that case, there is the possibility of Yud. How is there the possibility of Yud? You'll be Oiver and Isser, but Kedushin is Typhus. So Leim Karenel, the Kroivim, he should certainly be able to go and sell it to Kroivim, because Kroivim cannot perform Yud, and therefore you don't have to worry about the commission of an Isser, of a Dover Osser, because the Kedushin is not Typhus. So if he can sell it to Apostle, where they might come to be Oiver and Isser of Yud, certainly he can go and sell it to a Karev, where they cannot possibly be Oiver the Isser, because you can't get married, and Kedushin Typhusin. So tomorrow, no, I have a pirch on the kalvachayma. Mala moich lepsulim shim rotzel yayid miyayid. Yim karen lekroivim shim rotzel yayid eino miyayid. Oh, it's the other way around. The reason why I can sell it to psulim, because in fact, kedushin would be toifis. That's why he has the ability, the power to go and sell her. Why do you say that he has the power to sell to a kroivim? Their yud is impossible. And maybe the Torah says it om evriyah has to include the right to be miyayid, and here you cannot be miyayid. Sometimes you're only selling it for ama. Remember, Remeir at the outset says that I use li'oma to tell you the din that you can go and make a stipulation. Harry, you are hereby sold. Says Ramey, that works because sometimes you only sell the Amma. Ramey lepsulim nafkele. How does he know the din of psulim? So tima nafkele mehecha the nafkele the Reblazer. He learns like Reblazer that learned from the pasuk imroa bi'enei adoy neha. How does he know b'kroivim? So the karabon and the amri. Ain moicher lekroivim. Mitaka holds like the rabbanon. You cannot sell the kroivim, so I don't need the umma for that purpose, and therefore the umma remains for the purposes of the tanai. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai. I wish you all a good Shabbos, and a miyat Hashem.